Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
This year we've had a few of our major matriarchs in the church that have passed in this past year. When you think of Flo Terhune and Bonnie Harold, last week with Joanne Peacock, and a couple good men in Lynn Draper, Roger Craig. There have been some great people that have transitioned to sit with Jesus. And the holidays are so wonderful for so many. And also they're trying and hard for others. And I just want to pray for our church family, because there's some families sitting in here that are still kind of sucking wind and grieving some loss that's happened. And I think our whole church, we've experienced some loss. And Jesus enters into those places of our pain. And so let's just pray over our church family right now. Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you're good. Even when life is hard, you're still faithful, and you help walk us through. And so, Lord, we just pray over our church family this morning and so much loss that's taken place this year. God, that you would just be near and close to the brokenhearted and those who have been tried in their spirits. Lord, we just pray that this holiday season we would be able to see you in all of your goodness and all of your glory. We thank you, Jesus, in your name. Amen. If you are new this morning, we would like to welcome you. Pastor Andrew, who was just up here a minute ago, is going to be standing by this table in the back as we exit. And we've got a gift for you. So if you are new, please say hey to Pastor Andrew, and we'd like to get a gift into your hands. This month, we have sat in one scripture. We've been in Matthew chapter 2 as we have gone over the Christmas story. And we are going to finish with Matthew chapter 2 this morning. There's so much to go over here, but if you would, grab your Bibles, flip with me to Matthew chapter 2, and we do have the scriptures for you up here. So I'm going to dive in here. Matthew 2, starting in verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we came to worship him." Allow me to set a little bit of context super quick. Some of the context that we've gone over has been that King Herod the Great was King Herod the Awful, and the fact that he was a bad man who was marching out Romans' plans to subdue the Jews. This was a man who thought his wife was going to take his throne because she was trying to poison him. He had his wife murdered, thought his two sons were coming for a seat, so he had his sons murdered. He called the Sanhedrin together, which would be like our Supreme Court, and had 46 of them killed. Can you imagine the President of the United States calling the Supreme Court together and shooting 46 of them? That was what was going on in the government in that day. That's who King Herod is. And so Jesus, it says, was born into the reign of King Herod. Jesus is also going to be called the King of the Jews, and King Herod is the King of the Jews. There's going to be a clash of kingdoms here, is what we're experiencing. Interesting enough, also, between the Old Testament and the New Testament, 400 years have elapsed where there's not documented the voice of God. God got quiet for four centuries. Is that crazy? And then he enters into the scene, and it seems almost like God's not talking to his people anymore, which were the Jewish people. And wouldn't you think that God would use one of the Sanhedrin, one of the Pharisees, Sadducees, one of the teachers or preachers of the land to connect with the wise men or the Magi and say, "I want these Jewish people to lead them and escort them into who this Son of God is going to be." But he doesn't. Instead, he uses a star, his own creation, to connect to Gentile magi. These are people who are outside of those that are Jewish, okay? Jesus comes in, and the first people that he starts calling are shepherds and Gentiles. He's not calling the kings and the queens. He's calling those that are maybe on the outside or completely outside of who would be his chosen people. Jesus comes in, he's like, it's a new day. And this is a gospel that is open to all. I don't know about you, but I like this Jesus. And so they say, we follow the star, we've come to worship him. Verse 3, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. And all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time that the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and they worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and they presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Just a quick question. What do you give to someone who already has everything? Anybody, you've got somebody like that on your list? You're like, what in the world do I get this guy? He's already got everything he possibly could want and everything he already would need. He has no needs and also no wants. And if he wants it, he can just go out and get it. I'll tell you what's fascinating right now is it doesn't seem like we're having a problem buying gifts, especially from Amazon. Anybody you like when those things just show up? Amazon, just in 2021, in their fourth quarter alone, are reporting $141 billion in revenue. Is that silly? $1 billion is 1,000 million. Anybody would like to be a millionaire? Imagine being a millionaire. Imagine being a millionaire 50 times over, 100 times over. 1,000 times is a billion, and we're talking $141 billion just in this last quarter. People are buying gifts like crazy around here. One of the things that we have done during our Christmas season, if we encourage our kids when it's Christmas, to give a toy that they have, to give a toy to someone else, because God knows they're going to load up over Christmas. And so there's two reasons why. Number one is to show gratitude and to say, I don't want to hoard, I don't want to keep, I want to be a giver as well. They're not bringing in quite the paycheck that I was hoping at this point in their lives. I would hope they would be making more money. But what is it that you do have that you can give to someone else? That's point number one, to be a giver, that we want to be generous to others. And number two is just to kind of clear the clutter out of the closet. It's helpful. It's our sneaky way to say, hey, if you get one, you give one. It's just to help the house maintenance is what it is. But we're trying to kind of enable this inside of them. My kids gave a gift that I could not give to someone who has no needs. We've got this couple friends in our lives that I have no idea what to give them. These people are well off, they're well to do, and I have no clue what in the world do I give them. So Judah comes up and he takes one of his old cars and he gives one of his old cars, you know, Matchbox car that he plays with, and he gives it to Rick. And then Ronnie comes in and Ronnie gives one of her dolls to Lynn. These two gifts wiped them out. They are receiving it. They're emotional. They're joyful. They're like, oh my gosh, your kids are like moving the inner parts of me. And these wise men are coming in giving gifts to God who has no needs and seemingly would have no need of frankincense and myrrh right now. No need of gold. Jesus wasn't a big spender whenever he was 2 years old when he met these wise men, but yet this is what they present to the God man. It's a fascinating thing. We want to dive into what is it that they gave to Jesus. In Acts 17:25, God is not served by human hands as though he has any needs. The gifts of the Magi here are not that they're meeting needs for someone, but it's that they are giving out of the overflow of their hearts for what they see appropriate and what they see as prophetic. I believe that they were not only trying to bless Jesus, but these gifts were hopefully going to be a blessing to Joseph and Mary as well. I think that what anybody ever been to those baby showers, and you're trying to give a gift to the kid, but many times it's going to be a blessing to the parents. For me, a go-to, and I don't go to baby showers, but if I'm going to give a gift, I'm probably not going to pick out that cute outfit. I'm going to show up with a box of diapers, right? It's a box of diapers, and it's not so much for the baby as it is for the parents, because the baby is looking at that gift saying, you know what I think about your gift? I'm going to do something to that gift in just a minute. I'm going to tell you what I feel about that gift. And the parents are loving it because it saved them. Diapers are expensive. It saves them some money, right? And we are thinking about this child, and yet maybe there was also some blessing for Mary and Joseph as well. And so, in a sense, here's what we're trying to focus on, is the gift that may not be such a blessing for the child is an overflow of who we are as people, that we're trying to give this gift. Jesus has no needs. It's almost like whenever we want to do spiritual disciplines as a gift offering to the Lord. Lord, I'm going to fast because I want to tell you more than I want food as I want you. And these wise men are saying more than we would love to keep this gold. We're saying we don't want the gift as much as we want to be with who this God man is. And so it exposes the heart. A good gift giver has a heart that is flowing with love and generosity. So the Bible doesn't really tell us anything significant about these three gifts. It doesn't go into great detail about what these gifts mean. However, if we could just think practically what these gifts would do for Jesus and symbolically of what these gifts would mean, we begin to see some of the significance of what these seemingly random gifts would be. These gifts came to show three different pieces about Jesus. We see Jesus as royalty. He's the king, and that he gets gold. We see God in the form of Jesus, and that he has deity. We see man in Jesus, and that he has humanity. And so the first gift that they give here is this gold. Gold fits this idea of Jesus being the king. It's a kingly gift. Anytime that you would come before a king, as other nations would meet with other nations and other government officials would meet with other government officials, they bring a kingly gift that represents their nationality. These were wise men from the east, the Bible says. We don't know how far east they came from, but it was from the east. And as they're coming in, they're bringing something that represents who they are and the overflow of what their heart is. And it represents the king. And in the Bible, the Bible talks about whenever King Solomon had Queen Sheba come and meet with him. And it says that Queen Sheba rolls up with truckloads of gold as she is getting ready to meet with this king. It's what kings and queens do for one another. We don't know that they were necessarily kings. It says that they were wise men or even magicians. But to have access to this kind of a gift, they had potentially some sort of royalty or access to be able to give such a gift. It's the way that you honor a king. It's the value that speaks. This is also a value gift that maybe wasn't so much for Jesus, but I just wonder, if this gift helped finance Joseph and Mary's trip to Egypt, because they were there for a bit. King Herod did not die until 4 BC. So after Christ had been born, then there was a few years there before Herod had died. Potentially, this helped mom and dad in their trip. Another gift that they gave was frankincense. Frankincense is a white resin or gum. It's a costly and fragrant oil from a tree in India or Arabia. It is obtained from a tree by making incisions, by cutting into the bark and allowing the gum of the tree to begin to flow out. It's used for anointing, or even when you would make a burnt offering or a sacrifice. So this oil and this gum that they would make into, this gum from the sap of the tree they would make into this oil was for anointing someone. The Bible prophetically calls Jesus the anointed one who is coming. This prophetic gift comes and says, Jesus, you are the anointed one. You are the Messiah on whom we come to. And so they're bowing and bending before not only a king, but to the anointed one. And then as we also read later on in scriptures, it says that we want to present ourselves just like Christ did, that he would lay his life down for his bride. In Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible calls us to this. And then also the Bible would call us to give our lives as a living sacrifice. And so as they would do burnt sacrifices to the Lord, they would burn this incense, this frankincense up to the Lord, and it made a pleasing aroma unto the Lord. Fascinating that Jesus is going to become the ultimate sacrificial lamb for us. This prophetic gift is not only speaking to the baby in the manger, but it's speaking to the man on the cross, the one who is going to be the anointed one, who's going to be slain for our sins. Frankincense is a symbol of Christ's willingness to become a sacrifice, holy, giving himself like a burnt offering. In Exodus 30, verse 34, this highly used fragrance was burned when they came into worship as a pleasing offering unto the Lord. Finally, they gave this gift of myrrh. Myrrh is an aromatic spice from a tree that's grown in Arabia and in Ethiopia. It could be seen as an offensive gift, honestly, in a couple ways. It was a spice that was used for embalming bodies. Specifically, when you have myrrh, you wrap the death linens in myrrh to preserve the body, because the body stinks after a few days. They did not, Kathy, I know that you work in a funeral home. I don't know that they had the blue goo back then of the embalming, but they had myrrh. Do we use myrrh at Arms Hunt? Don't use that. Okay, new technology. But what they did back in the day is they had myrrh. Can you imagine someone coming to visit your newborn baby? And they roll up in there, and not with diapers like me, or not even a cute outfit, but they show up with a coffin. What a gift, huh? We want to give your child myrrh, the preparation oils and spices for their death. What an offensive gift. Wouldn't it have been? What an awkward moment. Like, hey, I got something ready for your child's death. Be like a pastor rolling up in there at the hospital. Your baby's now born and saying, hey, can we plan the memorial service for your baby? I got, you know, what songs do you want? What, you know, let's write that obit. They're already making a plan for the death of Jesus as they show up with myrrh. It was not confused. Hey, what would this gift be? It is for preparing the death linens for someone before they go into the tomb. Awkward gift. I got an awkward Christmas gift one time. An awkward Christmas gift that I got one time was I had a boss who was trying to be fun and give me a cool gift. But you know what he got me? He got me a whole hairstyling kit. Is that like the definition of a regift or what? Like, bro, I know you did not think, okay, what would be super helpful for Brock? I'm going to go out and I'm going to spend money on this gift. It's going to be such a blessing for him. It had shampoos in it. It had like styling gel. It had like hair wax in it. I'm thinking, what in the world am I going to do with hair wax and styling gel? Are you kidding me right now? Bro, come on, man. That's a re-gift if I've ever seen one. Kind of awkward for both of us. And he's like, yeah, you know, I don't know. You know, maybe you could like give it to your son. I'm like, great, a gift for me to give to my son. Here's the situation is when they come with such an awkward gift, I wonder if the parents are put off. But let's not be confused. Jesus was not only fully man, he was fully God. And as they show up with this gift, I just wonder if he's like, yeah, these guys get it. A little smile, a little nod, a little wink. Yep. You know what's coming. Behold the King who has come to lay his life down as a ransom for many. From the jump, every single gift that was presented was prophetically speaking to who this Jesus and God-man really was. While this gift could have been offensive to Mary and Joseph, I can't help but believe that there was something in Jesus that was just, man, they get it. They know why I've come. For the joy set before me, I'm going to endure the cross. I have descended from heaven to earth to lay my life down as a sacrifice, as a pleasing and living sacrifice to many. This song is one of the Christmas carols that I really enjoy, because this Christmas carol, they got a lot of things right. We three kings. And it speaks, it really comes out of Matthew chapter 2. But it speaks to the gifts that these wise men brought. Listen to these lyrics. We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we traverse afar. Field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings, we three kings. Born a king of Bethlehem's plain. Gold I bring to crown him again. King forever, ceasing never. Over us all to reign. Oh, star of wonder. Star of night. Star of royal beauty bright. Westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. We three kings, we three kings. Myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume. Breaths of life, of gathering loom. Sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying. Sealed in the stone-cold tomb. Coming out of this birth moment, these men show up with the preparations for the sacrifice. The Magi were told about this baby. They were clued in by an angel who this Christ was. They had a peek behind the veil. I truly believe when the angel told them to follow the star. These gifts were 100% on point. These gifts spoke not only to who he was, but who he was going to be, the King, the Anointed One, the one who has been born to die. He was made for this. He was the one. He was built for this moment. He was made for this call. This was the purpose of the coming King. This is the reason why he has come. I want to show you this picture. This is a picture right here of a bison. Check that out. Oh, that's a bad dude. That is a bad looking dude right there. This is a bison who's walking out of this frozen tundra in Yellowstone. And a photographer happens to be there and they're like, oh my gosh, and snaps this picture. I encourage you to look this picture up, not right now, But look this picture up and zoom in on the eyes. There's ice crystals coming down. There's snow all around this thing. And its eyes are almost blacked out with the crystals that's behind it. It's in the shadows and its eyes are coming out. The thing about this bison, what's going on right here, it is minus 35 degrees below zero at this moment. The bison has this thick rubbery skin that traps its body heat in. Had the body heat been emitting off of it, it would have melted the snow and the ice off of it. And then it would have been water and been freezing to the bison. Because of this thick rubbery skin, it traps all of its body heat in on the inside. Body heat is 98.6 degrees. This bison was built for this climate. He was built for this moment. There's other animals around too, and they're called geese. They're not built for that. So when geese happens, it gets a little cold, guess what they do? They head south for the winter. They're out of here, man. I'm heading to Florida. No offense to anybody that's about to head to Florida, all right? I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about geese. I'm talking about bison. And they're saying, I've got to get to a different climate. I wasn't made for this climate. I can't handle these temperatures. I've got to get out of here. And I'll tell you, there's something about this bison that inspires me, that connects me to the heart of Jesus. No matter what the circumstances, no matter what the situation, no matter what the haters and the critics around, no matter what the pain that I've got to go through, and apply this to your personal life, no matter what the late night hours may require, no matter what the extra work may require, no matter how hard it is to try to reconnect with my kids, no matter how hard and intense that marriage is right now, no matter how awkward and tough those conversations are inside that kitchen, I don't know whatever they are, but I want to tell you this. When you've got Jesus Christ living up on the inside of you, you were built for this stuff. You can handle it. You've got what it takes. You're more than enough. We don't have to flee. We don't have to go look for greener pastures in warmer weather. We can handle it. We've got Christ on the inside of us. He was built for this stuff from the beginning all the way to the end. For the joy that was set before him, he set his face like flint. He was unmoved. But from the moment that he was a baby, through his childhood, his adolescence, his teenagers, his 20s and his 30s, he had a goal and a vision in mind. And there were haters and critics and all kinds of circumstances and the weather coming in on him. And like a bison, man, he goes, I was made for this moment. I can handle it. I've got what it takes. Prepare me for death if you will, but I'm going to live fully alive until that moment. I'll tell you the best, and here's the end goal for me, is I want to die fully alive. I want to come to that final moment fully alive in him, knowing who I am. And church family, I want to tell you, there are moments that you're in right now and there are hardships all around you. Can I tell you, you got it. We got this thing. We got what it takes. Let's handle it. Let's come up underneath that thing. And let's handle what God has around us. I know we can do this. The thing about this bison is the inner, like it's 100 degrees on the inside. He's like, I'm good, man. It's 100 in here. I'm nice and cozy. I'm gonna operate in these circumstances, in this climate, with peace and joy. I'm going to consider all my trials and tribulations as joy unto the Lord because he's producing patience and perseverance on me. I got what it takes. And we've got Jesus Christ on the inside of us. We've got what it takes. Part of Jesus was coming in the midst of our hardship to show us a new way. There's a better way to live. There's a better way to handle that conversation. There's a better way to lead in our communities. There's a better way to lead in our homes. There's a better way. Jesus shows us the best way. And like a bison, man, no matter what we're going through, we were made for this moment. There is a pleasure I've found in giving gifts to someone that may not even need them. I found a joy in it. I found a joy in finding, because it's great to meet needs and we do that, but I like to give someone something that they don't maybe even need, but it's a joy that comes out of my heart. And can I encourage you this? That we need to give the Lord some gifts that he has no need of. The Lord has no need. There's no lack in God. He has no needs. But I'll tell you, there's a joy in giving to this God. And the best gifts that we possibly could give would be that gold. What's that thing that's most costly to us? What's the thing that you treasure the most? And if you're anything like me, it's my time. talents, treasures, money. The Bible would say where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. You show me a man what he spends his time and his money on, and I'll tell you all about that man. And when we give unto the Lord and we say, Jesus, I want to give you my time. I want to give you my treasures. I want to give you my talents. And I yield before you, Jesus. And this is the gift I want to give you to Christmas. Merry Christmas, Jesus. Here's my gift. And you just present yourself. What's the most valuable thing, that piece of gold that you need to give to the Lord? Jesus, I want to yield to you. Maybe for some of you, it's security. I don't know, man. I'm super comfortable. Stop throwing glass in the nest. This is kind of cozy. I've built a great little life here, and it's comfortable. Maybe the Lord is calling you. Come on, baby. Let's go fly. Let's do some stuff. Let's mix it up. You're limiting me, and I want to do so much more. Come on, let's go. And we're going to start laying our comforts down. Maybe it's financial security. Man, you just hold on to that. You love it. Man, it just gives you so much. And you say, Jesus, it's yours. You own a cattle on 1,000 hills. I just submit everything before you, and I give you the thing that's most costly and valuable to me. It's all of those comforts and securities of this American life that I've tried to build. Merry Christmas, Jesus. It's yours. Maybe you need to give some frankincense to Jesus. And you're saying, Jesus, I want to give you an aroma of worship as a living sacrifice. I want to lay my life down before you. It's a new day of sacrifice. Jesus, I need to go more. I need to go deeper. I need to dive in. I need to wake up early. I need to sacrifice. I need to stay up late. I don't know what they are. I need to dive into the presence. I need to start worshiping more at home. I need to engage my kids more. I need to lay my life down as a pleasing sacrifice of fragrance, of frankincense, of an aroma coming out of my life. Maybe it's diving into the Word of God. Yesterday at men's group, we went around and men were saying, I went through the whole Bible this year. I read the entire Bible. We're men of the Word. Man, we want to know this thing. Come on, we're men that read the Bible. We know God and His written scriptures. Jesus has a living sacrifice. I need to sacrifice my TV time or watching another movie or whatever. Jesus, I want to be a man who's discipled in books and well-read. I don't know, whatever those things are that you need to start sacrificing and say, Jesus, I just want to give you more. Maybe it's your time. Could you give up a Tuesday night and just invite people into your home and start loving on the least of these? Can you open up an evening and say, Jesus, I told you that I gave you my life, but I just don't want to give you my Tuesdays. You say, no, Jesus, it's all yours. I give you my Tuesday nights. And maybe we open up our home and we start bringing in and we love on people. Maybe it's the gift of myrrh. You say, Jesus, I need to come to a new place of just losing my life so that I can truly find my best life in you. I need to die to myself. I want to lay it all down this Christmas. Jesus, Merry Christmas. I lay my life on the altar. I'm preparing my body for death. Waste me in your purposes, Lord. Ruin it. Ruin it all for your glory. Jesus, take it and do with it what you will. I believe that this Christmas, God is just wanting to call us out, and it's not just happy Jesus came and it's a joy to the world, although it is. This picture of these wise men were saying, Jesus, we want to honor you as the King. You reign over all. We want to honor you as God, as the deity in this place, and as Jesus, the humanity. And we want to give you these gifts that are most costly to us. And so, instead of us spending $140 billion on material to one another, what if we just respond by saying, yes, Lord, take it all. I present my life to you again as a living sacrifice, not just for salvation that one day I'll get to heaven. No, Jesus, I'm giving you my life so that you can maximize my life here on this earth. Church family, I don't know if there's any one of you that's sitting out there right now and you're like, I don't know that I've ever really had that moment and that encounter with Jesus where I've just asked him to come in and to forgive me of my sin and to be the Lord of my life. Then we want to do that this morning. Maybe for some of you, it's a new thing. You're like, I know that Jesus has forgiven me of my sins. I got a great relationship with Jesus, but I know that he's offering more. And there just needs to be a yes in my heart. I just want to respond, yes, Lord, this morning. We might not have all the clarity. We might not have the whole game plan, but we do have a yes, and a yes is a great start. As we close here in prayer this morning, I can't think of a possible better gift than you can ever receive than the salvation of Jesus Christ, where he frees our hearts, where he makes us healed and whole, where he delivers us from the guilt and the shame, where he cleanses that inner atmosphere and just washes it all away, and he sets us free. I also can't think of a bigger gift than getting the identity of the God-man stamped upon our spirit, where that inner bison says, come on, let's go. Let's go. Come on, I was built for this. I was made for more. And I'm not being a goose. Why am I being such a silly goose? And I'm running. I need to be a bison. I need to lock in. And so, church family, we're going to pray this blessing upon our church family. Would you all stand with me as we close this morning? And church, I would love for all of you to pray this prayer with me. And for some, it may be the first time that you would pray this prayer. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to ask Jesus to come into our lives, to clean up our hearts, to forgive us of sin. Okay? We're going to do this prayer. And if you want to repeat after me, just say, Dear Jesus, I confess I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin and be the Lord of my life. Amen. And for the others, I just want to pray this prayer over you. Jesus, we just pray that those that have had this relationship with you, Jesus, we pray that we would lay it all down at your feet, that we would give you our lives again as a living sacrifice. Jesus, I pray that you would give clarity to those that are wrestling through, what am I doing with my life? And Jesus, the best gift that we could give you for Christmas is ourself, is our call, is our future, and our purpose and our plan. And so Jesus, we just give it to you. Stamp the identity of Christ upon our spirits. I just call all those bison forward. Come on. Come on out and do what you've been called to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Happy Christmas, church family.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.